22 seconds remaining. And Bradshaw is back and looking again. Bradshaw running out of the pocket, looking for somebody to throw to, fires it downfield, and there's a collision. It's cut out of the air. The ball is pulled in by Franco Harris. Harris is going for a touchdown for Pittsburgh.
Please bless the refreshments to give us strength in our bodies.
Hello, and welcome to Bless the Refreshments, where normal people have normal conversations about the gospel, making it way more fun and interesting to be a member of the church. Today, we're talking about 2022, a year in review. What we've done, what we've all experienced, and guesses as to what's to come. Hope you enjoy.
Well, before we start, do we need to talk about Franco Harris, right? Him passing away today.
No, I thought you were going to say we had to start with a prayer.
I don't know who Franco Harris
is. You don't know who Franco Harris is? The guy who caught the ball in the Immaculate Reception? Do you know what the Immaculate Reception is? The greatest play in NFL history?
I only know the catch number one and the catch number two.
Those are stupid, though.
the catch two. Troll,
what an original name.
The catch two, like, made me lose my mind. I do remember watching that one live.
Yeah, well, the Immaculate Reception was in 1972, so I wasn't alive. But... greatest play in NFL Jeez. History. This is the first. It brought the first time the Steelers won a playoff game. They had been around for 40 years, hadn't won anything. Franco Harris catches the ball with 6 seconds left, runs it into the end zone. There's three statues inside the Pittsburgh airport. One is of a T-Rex, bones of a T-Rex. The other is of George Washington. The other is Franco Harris catching the ball. 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception is on Friday. And this whole week, they had so many festivities planned to honor Franco Harris. They were going to retire his number. He will only be the third Steeler to have his number retired. The Steelers don't do that like other teams do. And then he died last night.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know. So that one play brought about the Steelers dynasty.
Good times. That was Terry Bradshaw.
Yep. And it's funny, he actually didn't see it. He thought he had made a great pass. Because he threw the ball and got knocked down and then heard the roar of the crowd. And he got up like cheering, like, what did I do? Yeah.
Well, good times. Well, how do we want this episode to go?
Well.
What do we do? Like 5 episodes this year?
Took the summer off. That was interesting.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, though? After we came back from our break, have we had a guest?
We haven't.
We have guests upcoming. But yeah, we did our own content for a while. I think that's cool.
I've liked our episodes recently. Having Bonnie back on will be so fun. She was a great episode last year.
Yes.
Last mm-hmm. February.
And she's going to send us a little snippet of her book so that we can have stuff to talk about that way. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, that'll be good. And our episode with Bonnie led to our episode with Sam and Mace, which was great as well. And so I think that's one of the cool things, too, is just seeing that network grow and seeing kind of the serendipitous things that result from reaching out to people. I think that's amazing.
I like how the Sam and Mace episode, that is the actors that played Laman and Lemuel, how those kind of came just in succession. We were doing a Laman and Lemuel themed couple of episodes, and then randomly they reached out to us and were eager to come on the show, and that was really fun. That's an episode that I really wish I could have been at, but I feel like 5 of us would have been a lot.
I forgot you weren't there.
I wasn't there. Yeah. I don't even remember why, but I was looking forward to that as an episode, but I had something that week.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I think about that episode a lot. So that was last year. So that's valid to talk about on this one.
That's why we're talking about it.
No, that's, yeah, that was one of my favorites. Basically talk shop about how the movies were made and, like, you know, the takes that weren't used and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that was... like, even though I hate the video so much, like, it was really fun talking to those guys.
It was interesting to see what they wanted it to be and what it ended up being.
Yeah.
And why. So that was interesting.
What episode number is that?
57.
57.
Episode 57, published on May 4th.
And so Bonnie's must have been, what, 55?
I think hers was earlier.
45.
45.
Yeah. Hers was earlier.
That's close.
And the funny thing about that episode is it went, I think we had like 4 in a row that we had guests.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we did Bonnie's episode, Then we did the Bagleys.
The Bagleys, yeah.
Then we did Spencer Weiniger. And then we did Sam and Mace.
Dr. Finlayson Fife was in there at around the same time, wasn't she?
April. It was end of April.
I'm thinking of the episode that we scratched.
Oh, let's not talk about that.
We won't talk necessarily about it, but we have had two episodes that we fully recorded and scratched.
If we get enough money on our Patreon, our make-believe Patreon, then we will release the episodes.
Although I have a friend who has left the church, and she didn't know that we were doing a podcast until our NGL thing. And she's like, "You have a podcast? You didn't tell me about it?" I was like, "I don't think it's really up your alley." And right. She's like, "Well, let me see." And so I told her what it was, and she like listened to like a little snippet. She's like, "Is this church stuff?" I'm like, "Sure is."
I thought you were going to say, and then she came back to church.
She did not.
Yeah, we see. That's what we need. We need a testimony building story about our podcast, and then we could make a, you know, one of those. What are they? Those church videos.
Mormon messages for youth.
They used to be called that. Yeah. Are they still called that? They're not
Mormon messages for youth.
They wouldn't
for sure.
But we can make our own. Even if it's made up.
All you're doing this is for validation that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
All right.
I can't get actual validation, so I need to make it up.
Well, good times. What kind of things in the church over the last year have been big, like any talking points in the church that we've experienced in the past year?
The new For Strength of Youth.
Oh, all right. Right.
That was a big one. And it kind of just fits the come follow me pattern, simplifying more accountability to us rather than, you know, spelling everything out. I really loved that change. That was great.
I think in terms of like the church, I think that's been the biggest, that's probably been the biggest change or the biggest thing to come out this year.
Yeah.
But that's been the heading of the church for the last couple of years. It's like, look, we're not going to handhold you anymore. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's something that is needed. It's consistent with what President Nelson said this last conference, that, you know, in the coming days, it's not going to, that's not this last conference, but it's not going to be possible to survive spiritually without the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And so I think that has just been playing out in a lot of different areas of, you know, church policy and so forth. So I like to see that unroll. It's not just one announcement. It's a holistic pattern. You know, once a principle is revealed, you'll see a lot of things fall into place that coincide with that principle moving forward. And I think that's a testimony builder for me.
Freddie gave my oldest son, Freddie, gave his first talk in church about the new For Strength of Youth.
Awesome.
And
how did it go?
Oh, it was great. He was awesome. He read through it and like, I told him like, okay, just write, as you're reading, just write down some things that stand out. And then I went through with them and be like, okay, why did this part stand out to you? Why did this part stand out to you? And that's like, I helped him kind of like write out his talk, and he was like insanely nervous, but he did. So he's like, I mean, you guys know him, like he's like the purest soul,
yeah.
You know? And so he got up there and did it. And it was the greatest. One of my favorite memories of this year.
Well, that's great. That's awesome.
It is. That's awesome.
I also like this. I think what comes along with dividing, like, again, like we talked about in our standards episode last year, about standards that are external, like that are easy to see on the outside. A lot of those came with the For Strength of Youth pamphlet, you know, like don't wear A, B, and C, don't watch this, this, or this. It became easy to judge, to be able to outwardly judge people on what they're doing and what they're wearing. Whereas I think this fosters more of an inward devotion, or like a need to be able to cultivate a conversion inward, you know, rather than a focus on the law and what other people are doing. I hope that's what comes along with this change. You know, the Pharisees were really good at keeping the law and showing others how righteous they were through their obedience to the law. But it obviously wasn't what Christ wanted out of his church.
Well, that's not really, I mean, I see what you're saying, Johnny, but the Pharisees were hypocrites.
Yes, so for sure.
They weren't keeping the law, but they wanted it to appear so.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So, yeah. So that's the thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to be diligent in keeping the commandments. I think that is a great thing.
Of course.
But I think when you miss the purpose of keeping those commandments, and especially when you fall into just wanting to appear to keep them and not mm-hmm. really keep them, I think you've fallen into this trap of the adversary.
Sure. But I think that also what the Pharisees did is when they saw people deviating from the law, they said they were quick to judge. But I guess the Pharisees, I guess that was kind of their job. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that, again, when it's like standards, I guess, that are easy to see on the outside, whether someone is following them or not, it's easy to say, oh, they're not like being, it's easy to say, to judge and say, oh, that person isn't following the law, therefore their testimony isn't very strong in A, B, and C and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, there's all kinds of ways that we can miss the mark. It's always important to keep the focus on the Savior and on keeping that light within you. Because if you do that, then you'll be also prompted to do all kinds of good and reach out to people and lift one another up and those types of things. I think it's when we lose focus on the interpersonal connection that the gospel emphasizes. Because what you described is trying to look for reasons to tear people down,
mm-hmm.
right? And what the gospel teaches us is to look for opportunities to lift one another up. For the Pharisees in particular, that was one of the main things. They were focused on their authority and their power when it comes to, ecclesiastical, law keeping,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it became an inward focus, and the people didn't matter. What mattered was the law, and what mattered was, is I'm an authority and you're a subject.
Right.
So I think there's all kinds of ways that can come about. That was a specific time and a specific circumstance. I think there's ways that can happen now too. What's really great for me is I see I see our church collectively emphasizing those things more and more to love and to reach out and to lift up. And I think that increasingly they're setting themselves apart from the world in that respect, because you see so much contention in the world right now. And for me, having our prophet get up and say, we need to remove that from our lives and we need to be more sensitive to the Spirit, I think is a great thing, and I think it's a fulfillment of the prophecies of the last days. We're going to continually find ourselves separating from the world more and more as the coming of the Savior gets closer.
In terms of other episodes, I guess over the past year, like which ones have been your favorites?
I really loved our scrupulosity episode. I just wish I had gotten to say a little bit more, but.
That was Bonnie Young.
That was Bonnie.
Yeah, it was Bonnie Young.
You missed that one?
No, we recorded that at your house.
Yeah, Bonnie, we recorded at your house. What was the script?
Did we? Yeah, we recorded it, but I just remember Johnny was very excited that Bonnie was there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hog the mic there?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Oh, I thought you meant
those episodes.
I thought you were referring to the
to Jennifer Finlayson and Fife.
The one where you tried to be on.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. No, that one was pretty cool. That was my favorite episode by far.
Is that the only episode that you're not on?
I'm on it.
I mean,
I'm just saying I was there. Yeah. I had a technical error on my computer. I couldn't get the mic, and I figured it out at like the very end of how to get my, because you guys couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny because I'm sure you guys like kept seeing me pop in and out.
Yeah, it was great.
You shut the whole system down once. Right. You're like, whoa, what happened?
I liked our Old Testament stories fantasy draft. It's one of the first.
It was a good one.
Yeah. I'm looking at our list of episodes now, and I had forgotten about that one until looking at it. That was a lot of fun.
I liked our one about portrayals of members of the church in media. Oh, that was a fun in television and film.
I don't think I wasn't on that one, right?
You weren't on that one. Yeah. That's right. You had to miss. So we brought on Tyler Tolley.
Oh yeah.
From Two Guys on a Tangent. I also liked our NGL episode was super fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was a good one.
Right before we went on our hiatus, I did an episode with each of you guys separately. So me and Johnny did an episode on what it means to be a Christian.
Right.
And then me and Burgess did an episode on Father's Day. And I actually loved both of those episodes. I thought they were both excellent. Not that I don't like having all of us on here together. I think that's cool. But for
which
me,
which one did you love more,
Johnny? I love you both the same.
Such a cop out answer.
It is true.
Just kidding.
Yeah, we did an episode on John the Baptist that you guys know that I'm way too excited about. But also, we started delving into signs of the times in the last days, and we teased our second coming episode way too many times.
Yeah, it's still coming.
And it's still coming.
And really now no man knoweth the time because our spreadsheet has changed.
It's not on the spreadsheet anymore.
It is, but it was supposed to be in like November.
Right. What I'm excited about is like with a new year, you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, the direction of the podcast could change at any time. There might be something, you know, some event that kind of changes how we think about the gospel or what we emphasize, you know, or what we think about. And I think that's pretty cool. We're going to start studying the New Testament this year. We don't follow that on the podcast, but it doesn't mean that that's not going to impact the things that we think about.
Yeah. Hmm. Do we want to even prognosticate what might happen in the church over the next year?
How do you spell prognosticate?
I think you're missing the mark on that one.
Sorry.
Gnosticate?
Was that not the question?
What's going to happen in the church? Yeah, it's tough to say. I think that the membership will experience a lot of the same trials that the world in general experiences because we can't separate ourselves from them. But I think that we'll also see the blessings of the gospel help to get us through those things for those that will look to the Savior. So I'm kind of the opinion that, you know, it looks like we might have an economic downturn of some kind this year. The signs seem to be pointing to that. But ultimately, if you're living the gospel and you're being wise, I think that there's, you know, you can overcome anything if you're listening to the Spirit and you're willing to heed that voice.
Do you guys feel a lot differently this time around now that we're in a completely different life situation than we were during the 2008 recession?
2008 was tough for me. I was just getting out of graduate school.
Yeah.
And so I spent a good deal of time, about 7 months unemployed after I graduated.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Couldn't find a job to save my life. I'm in a different place now. But I mean, ultimately you're never immune.
Yeah.
Right. You never know what might happen, you know, what the company that you're working for, you know, might go through or, you know, cause I mean, ultimately we're all subject to those eventualities.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I think you just have to look at those things through an eye of faith. When we put our focus where it should be, things will come together for our good, ultimately.
To be honest, like besides the housing market, which directly impacted me this year, because we were trying to sell our house and then the market changed overnight and that directly impacted our plans. To be honest, I haven't thought about the economy much. And like back in 2008, I had just gotten married and like was in school and like I had, you know, customer service jobs that, you know, they weren't going anywhere. It didn't really impact me then. And I guess I haven't really cared enough about it now.
Oh, that's good. See, I feel like, again, like during the 2008 recession, again, I was in college, and I remember paying, you know, $4 a gallon for gas and thinking, wow, this is crazy, but you know, like it'll all turn out okay. Again, because I feel like in college, again, I was single and all I had to worry about was me. I didn't have, like you're saying, I didn't have a 401k to worry about. But now that I do have all that stuff, and now that I'm in charge of a family, I'm a little more stressed out about than I was the last one. Sure. And I think what is looming for me is that I am pretty positive, you know, before the savior comes, it's going to get way bad.
Sure.
Right. And I'm thinking, is this it? You know, like, is this the time that it's going to happen? You know, things are just going to progressively get worse in some respects. And I think economically speaking, it will. But, you know, just because the worth of money is imaginary, you know, and I think that, again, before Christ comes, that will be made very evident. The things that are valuable will be made. Like we'll understand what that means. Like, so again, for me, I'm like, okay, when is it going to get way bad? And again, is this it or is it not? So I don't know. Is me being a worrywart too?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's a valid thing to be worried about because we know that that's the direction things are going.
Yeah.
Right. And so to me, the question becomes, what do we do to be protected?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of always go back to Lehi's promise, right? In so much as you shall keep the commandments of God, you shall prosper in the land. And I don't think that that promise has been revoked. And sure. I think part of what the prophet has said in conference has been, you know, there's going to be increased miracles and a greater portion of the Spirit imparted to those who keep the commandments and follow the Savior. How that manifests itself, I think you have to have eyes to see.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's a very personal thing sometimes.
I guess on the other hand, things are going to get better, for sure. Temples are going to be so much closer, more accessible to the membership of the church than any time in beforehand. You know, we have availability of the words of the prophets so easy. And, you know, literally at the tips of our fingers. Increased outpouring of the Spirit for those who, you know, as we try to look for. So I think you're right. You have to have an eye to see those things that are the way that life is progressively getting better as well.
What are you guys most looking forward to for this coming year?
This is an interesting year for the Marucci family because we have no idea where we're going to be in a year, but it will not be where we are now. I guess I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast where our move out of Bountiful to Draper was temporary. My parents are on a mission in Japan and they've, you know, they offered for us to house sit while we rent out our house. And so we thought, oh yeah, this will be great. And it kind of, we've been wanting to test out the rental market anyways, but this was a risk-free way of doing it. But now it forces our hand because my parents will be home, you know, at the end of October of next year. And so we have no idea where we're going to be in a year. So I look forward to that, to knowing what's going to happen to the Marucci family, where we're going to be in a year.
I think it's just never leave. Just stay in the house. Your parents move back in and be like, you won't even notice us.
Squatter's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I look, my career has been like up, you know, it's been kind of crazy. It was kind of crazy this year. And have I gone 2 consecutive years now quitting a job? But I do look forward to next step in my creative career, as an editor, you know. I would love to get into more narrative things. I'm hoping to have some more control over my career now, like kind of stick as a freelancer for a while, see if I can make that work so I can have a little bit more choice in my projects, a little bit more time, but also like I really want to get into more narrative stuff and I want to have a specific skill of color correction. I look forward to that. As far as church goes, I look forward to my new calling in Sunday school.
Are you a teacher?
No, I'm the Sunday school secretary now.
Oh, cool.
And the Sunday school president, I really, really like him, and it'll be fun to work with him. Like, we're going to have just a huge focus on helping families do Come Follow Me at home, things like that. Yeah. So I do look forward to this calling.
Having been in the Sunday school presidency, like, it can be a pretty stressful calling because you got a lot of teachers, and if one of them doesn't show up,
yeah,
you're like, I got texts in the mornings like, hey, can one of you guys teach?
Yeah. Yeah. And then like in the handbook now, like it talks a lot about Come Follow Me at home, like making sure that the members have a church centered home Christ centered home, church supported. So it's like, it's more, you know, it's just follows the same pattern, which, like, we have a lot more just like trust that we can kind of take it, you know, we have a lot more accountability, but also a lot more trust in that. How do we help members do, like, have a Christ-centered home? Like, mm-hmm. How do we be the church support of that?
I'm looking forward to this year. I don't foresee any huge changes for me. Doesn't mean none will happen, right? I think that's the interesting thing about a year is you just don't know. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? You just have to be willing to roll with it. But as far as my calling goes, tradition would say that it's going to be constant for mm-hmm. this year. As far as my work goes, where I'm at in my temple project, it would say that my work is going to be pretty constant this year. And for family, other than I'd like to travel less this year, this fall and winter, I am traveled out. I'm not quite done yet. I've still got a trip to take, but I hope to spend a little bit more time just at home and that kind of a thing, and be a little less busy that way. But yeah, I think our outlook for this year is pretty steady for right now, but, you know, I'm always interested to see what the Lord has in store for our family. And so if that means staying the course this year, I think that's great. And I'm happy to do that. If that means that there is change in store for our family, I am willing to accept that, whatever that might be. I will go where you want me to go. And I think that's been a good mantra for us, in years past. And this year we're willing to accept, what the Lord has in store for us. And I would hope that all of us would be willing to do that as we move forward in the gospel.
Good time. Well, Happy New Year's, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Wait, are we allowed to say Happy New Year before the New Year?
We've already discussed this.
Rest in peace, Franco Harris.
Happy New Year to you all. Thank you so much for spending time with us in 2022, and we look forward to doing it again in 2023. We've got some great guests lined up and some new ways for you to interact with and participate in the show. So be excited for it. We'll see you next year.
Holy moly! John Pukla, apparently the intended receiver, in a collision with a defensive man, and from out of nowhere came Franco Harris. And I believe he was riding a white stallion down the field, heading up Franco's Italian army, charging under the football and galloping off into the sunset.